Okay. Well, we certainly have most everyone. There may be a few other people coming in, but again, given it's 10 a.m., we have 45 minutes. We certainly can get started. Again, my name is Jeff Su from 370 IR. This is Grant, my IR colleague. So again, thank you everyone for your time. To let you know, UBS, that's right, is actually we're recording this session. So just full transparency. Everyone can be aware. Thank you. And yeah, as usual, we don't have any key messages, so we can certainly just use Q&A. That's okay for everyone. Thanks. No questions. We can all have a coffee. Just kidding. Sorry.
Look, I guess, front-end logic is a sort of limiting factor for AI growth. So maybe just talk us through how you think about capacity adds versus losing, losing some front-end wafers to competitors.
Oh, well, we think very simply. First of all, like CC said, we want to capture every piece of business possible. We're not intentionally leaving food on the table, so to speak. But in our industry, capacity is also not born overnight. It takes time. Okay. As we said, it takes 2 to 3 years to build a new fab, anywhere and for anyone. I mean, go ask our competitors. Anyone tell you different, good luck. Okay. But remember TSMC, our first responsibility as a foundry is to provide the most advanced technologies, but also the necessary capacity to enable our customers to be successful and unleash their innovation. So you're right, as we said, the demand for our leading-edge technology is very strong. Okay. So we are working hard to narrow the gap and basically doing everything we can, wherever we can, however we can, to maximize the capacity support, which includes, but not only limited to, huge CapEx. So we are putting our money where our mouth is. Obviously, our CapEx now is close to 56 billion guidance for this year. We said the next 3 years will be significantly higher than the past three. So we are putting our money where our mouth is, but it takes time for that capacity. So what can you do in the meantime? You need to support your customers. We cannot, play it super safe. Oh, you guys all need 100. Let me do 50. Good for me, but too bad. No, my job is to help you. So that's why CC also said, in addition to the CapEx, we are also executing a plan basically to add three more additional 3 nanometer fabs. Why? 3 nanometer has been around so long for us since late 22, but the looking forward, the customer demand is multi-year strong. So we are doing that. And then finally, we are also leaning very heavily on the underappreciated aspect of our moat, I would say, which is the manufacturing aspect. But the ability to ask the fab and operation people to drive more productivity, more efficiency, to generate more wafer output is tremendously important. Because just think about it, one more additional wafer we can generate from the existing capacity is one more wafer I can use to support not just the AI customers, but all my customers. I have a big customer in Cupertino that also needs 3 nanometer. So these are the multiple things we're doing to maximize the support.
The increased throughput that you're getting out of your equipment.
Sorry?
The increased throughput that you're getting out of your existing equipment. Is that sustainable over the long term, or are you sweating the assets in the short term because of the supply chain?
I think we continue to focus on driving more productivity and efficiency to generate more wafer output. We can continue to do so. We will always do so. It's really important and it's really helpful. Obviously, one more additional wafer you can generate is one more piece of business you can do without having to buy a new tool.
And the leverage on that incremental wafer, which we're seeing your gross margins, is phenomenal.
It
But
also helps support the profitability. That's correct. Because one more additional wafer we can generate. Again, the purpose is to maximize the support for customers, but Ian's not wrong. One more additional wafer, my unit cost is spread across one more additional wafer. It helps the profitability as well. So if you look at our profitability, that's also, We always talk about the six factors. Certainly, we have been trying to do a better job of earning our value pricing, but we also want multiple levers to support the profitability. A huge part has been, the strong demand for leading edge and the higher utilization rates. That's very helpful to the profit, the margin. But higher utilization rates not possible if you don't stick to your CapEx and capacity planning discipline. And then, like I said, when the demand is strong, leaning on the manufacturing muscle to generate more productivity, more output, to your point, that also helps. So you want a couple things going on to help support.
Now, when I think about the increased throughput, what are the constraints? Like, there's Taiwanese labor is becoming a constraint. That's in part why you've expanded into other areas. But as I think about the increased throughput, what's the constraint?
There's no constraint. Well, the fab operation people, they have a tough job. It's a lot of effort to do so, but we're able to do so. That actually, the reason also, well, part of the reason, certainly we're leveraging, as we've talked about before, AI in our fab and operations. That is tremendously helpful, right? Another part, just sheer this economies of scale and volume that we enjoy as a manufacturer, right? There's a lot of things you can improve here. You can apply it everywhere else. There's a lot more learning you can generate because I have a lot more data to work with. So all of these things help drive these productivity and efficiency.
How are you dealing with like the labor is an issue in Taiwan, but sort of, as you expand in the US with leading edge fabs, packaging fabs, and there's others also expanding. How are you dealing with the labor issue in the US?
Well, labor issue is not new. I think, again, we're not running out of, look, let me put it this way. We're still able to hire the number of engineers we want in Taiwan and actually in the US and overseas as well. In Taiwan, the long-term challenge, though, is really because with our technology position, the pace that we're going to grow at, we will eventually outgrow Taiwan's ability to support. Part of that is the talent, because if you just look at the birth rate, it's like an inverse correlation with our growth.
I was reading
So,
about that last night. It's pretty shocking.
and so well, part of the reason that we wanted to start to expand overseas, going back a few, is to your point, we can precisely so we can tap into a deeper and wider talent pool. Okay, and so. That is what we're doing in Japan, in Arizona, and also building the fab in Europe. It's important because TSMC is becoming more global. Okay. So I think we ourselves need to be more global as a company as a whole. Taiwan is fantastic, but now we need a more global talent pool. What do they call it in peaches and like, is everything super smooth? No, I mean, there's always a learning curve. Part of the message, we have to attract and hire the right type of people. This is not about American or Taiwanese, or it's like the right type of people means this people share the similar way of thinking and doing things as a company's culture. That's the most important part. We also tell, our people from Taiwan that we need to learn how to manage more global people, right? And so it goes kind of both ways, I think. Now, it doesn't mean that, in Taiwan, suddenly they'll understand, football in Europe means one thing, football in America means a company. There's nuances to the code, but that's fine. But it's just like you guys in your companies and your jobs, you have teams. You may come from different backgrounds, different, cultures, but you can all work together because you share the similar value system and way of doing things. So it's no different. Sorry, long answer. So even the overseas, you look in Arizona, you look in Japan, we have been able to successfully ramp real world volume production there. That's through a combination of both the local and what we call overseas assignees. So far, so good. Doesn't mean it's perfect. There's still challenges, but that's a big deal. The result speaks louder, I think.
Given the tightness in 3 nanometer, how do we prioritize between applications and customers?
particularly, I guess there are more and more, but it's Rubin GPUs or CPUs going to 3 nanometer. So it's not just IR speak when CC says, we know we have more than 500 customers, we need to treat everyone fairly. Okay. That's not just touchy feely speak. It's really true because who are we? We're a foundry. Okay. The essence of the foundry is again that you serve your customers and help them unleash their innovation. When capacity is tight, it becomes even more important. Okay. How do you allocate the capacity? We go through our process and make our judgment. We will communicate it transparently to customers. Natural to say larger customers will get larger allocation. But again, to be fair, CC always says, when things are tight, 50 wafers to the large customer, not big deal. But for the smaller customer, it's a matter of survival. So we do not want to overlook the small customers too, because our experience has demonstrated many times the small customer can become the mid to large customer in the future. Okay. And so although there's some outside noise, we're a kingmaker or we like the AI, and don't like the small, none of that is true. It's my job to serve all the customers. And so that is what we do. How do we know we're doing a good job? Because a lot of people say, hey, you have a big GPU customer, you show them all the love because they come meet you all the time. But this customer say, hey, I'm your large customer, but you're showing everyone else, the love. So sort of everyone is pretty consistent feedback. Then we know
So
kind of fairly.
when no one's happy.
Well,
No, effectively, you're doing a good job. If everybody's unhappy, then.
so we have to be, again, because the day we start to pick and choose and play favorite, you all know. If I start to say, oh, I like you more, and I take your capacity at the expense of him, not only will you be upset and never do business with me, my 499 customers will see what I have just done to you. And they will not trust TSMC as a partner. So that's why our industry, we always talk about the essence of the business, technology leadership, manufacturing excellence, customer trust. Those are the three key fundamentals to the foundry. And that's how you compete. And that's how you win your customers' business. Nothing beyond that.
How much of the tools are interchangeable when we go from node to node, say 5 to 3, 3 to 2? And I guess the context of asking that is, I guess for even 3 nanometer is shortage, we can convert some tools from 5 to 3. And then if we look longer term, if we have older nodes that have lesser demand, we can then again interchangeably move forward so we don't have overcapacity risk. So just wondering on that.
Yeah, so both good question. I think we always build in what we call tool commonality between adjacent nodes. That percentage for TSMC is around 90% plus minus. Important the percentage because again, everyone will say, I have commonality, but please ask each company, what is your percentage? Because that's your capability, so to speak. For TSM, so we always build in that commonality and we will basically exercise it or convert where appropriate. But not only with that, even with 3 nanometer, we have said we're able to take other nodes as well and optimize the capacity across nodes. Okay, so that is another, going back to the manufacturing aspect, a strength of TSMC and the advantage we have, the scale and volume, these gigantic clusters we have in Taiwan. So we can take parts of 7, for example, to support where the demand is needed and strong, like 3 today.
So when you say 90%, so is that, 5 to 3 is 90%
Adjacent, yeah. So
adjacent,
next,
and then
yeah, 5, 3, 3, 2 type of stuff.
Can you just elaborate a little bit? Because you said you have 90% commonality on adjacent nodes, but then you said across
We can
this.
also optimize the capacity across nodes.
And so can you elaborate on that, please?
Well, like we have said, between 7 nanometer, 5 nanometer, and 3 nanometer, we can ship
Okay.
to where necessary. So again, this goes back to the first question. These are the multiple levers we can do and are doing basically to help maximize the support to the customers in addition to the the huge CapEx. So competition, we never underestimate anyone. And I think you may have mentioned Intel. So anyway, these are very formidable companies. Okay, we don't take anyone lightly. But again, there's no shortcuts to this game. To build capacity, that I said, for anyone takes time, and not only time, it takes a lot of money, right? You have to put, well, in our case, 50 plus billion a year before you see a dollar of revenue. Sorry, let me just finish it. And the lead time of engagement, the complexity of technology, customers need to start to work with their manufacturing partner at least 2 to 3 years in advance to design their chip into the process technology. Then it's another 1 to 2 years to reach high volume manufacturing, which obviously every customer wants. So it's a huge effort from both sides. For the customer, it's not even about the money. It's a lot of money, but that's the least. It is about your precious resources, your R&D engineers, your team. Who do you want to dedicate them to work with? And by the way, the partner you choose better execute flawlessly. Because if I hiccup on my roadmap, your end product will be severely delayed or compromised, and you will lose in your end market. So that's why, again, it goes back to the three key fundamentals. Sorry.
Yeah, just thinking, when you talk about technology leadership, so we've moved to smaller and smaller and smaller process nodes. What will be next?
Well, what
If
will
we
be
think about, real technology leadership, like can we get even smaller process node, or does it matter? And how do you stay ahead?
Well, the answer, we are can and are continuing to push forward. Obviously, our 2 nanometer, which is our new node, just began the volume production late last year. Our next full node, we call it A14, that will begin high volume manufacturing in 2028, not 2029. Okay, and
So
the
is that the next, what do you call it?
A14.
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 Yeah. And what does it mean?
It is the so we have N2, we have N2P, A16. These are N2 family. Then the next full, what we call full node stride, bringing improvements in performance, energy, efficiency, and density will be A14. Beyond that, we have not disclosed, but certainly R&D is already working on the several nexus, next, so to speak. They also, the reality for technology these days, given the complexity to your point, the lead time to develop a 3 nanometer, 2 nanometer process technology now is at least 5 to 7 years. Okay. So internally, when people say, well, our 5 nanometer, 3 nanometer today, 2 nanometer, TSMC, you're the industry leader, blah, blah, blah. It's great, but internally, none of it matters because where we are today is a result of the work that we did 5 to 7 years ago. So internally, the mantra is just keep doing your job, do what you need to do. So 5 to 7 years from now, we can continue to be who we are.
I think packaging is actually also quite important now, and that's how you kind of differentiate yourself in the chips. How are you investing into the back end versus the front end?
Well, we continue to invest in packaging, but if you look at our CapEx, I already forgot what. Anyway, the bulk of the CapEx will always be for the wafer side, particularly the leading edge. Okay. Advanced packaging is an important business for TSMC, but its importance is strategic, not, financial, so to speak. Now we manage it financially, so it earns a good return, which it does. So that's not a problem. But the importance, really, advanced packaging is a technology offering to enable more logic wafer manufacturing for TSMC. Because if you look, no matter which way you slice it for us, CapEx wise, revenue wise, or most importantly, profitability wise, we make our money from making wafers. So all of these things that we do, advanced packaging, silicon photonics, these are very important technology offerings for customers, but it is to enable more wafer business.
And that's why you're outsourcing a lot of the packaging too.
Sure. Well, first of all, we have a huge ecosystem. Unlike an IDM, we have, everyone, a grand alliance working together. And part of that is OSAT partners. And sure, right? Things like CoWoS, you're my partner and you can help me out. And you're my partner, why not? Right? And a partner means I don't just do it when times are good and take it all back. No, you're my partner, so no problem. And so I can do what I need to do.
And how does the knowledge sharing work with that, with your OSAT partners? Is it, you guys leading on that R&D and development, or are you kind of working together?
Well, there's parts of it that they can do, we can work on. There's parts of it that's proprietary that we probably still take care of.
What argument can we make that we can actually capture more of the advanced packaging business if we expand our capacity more? But we are a bit restrained on that. So then we have overspill orders to our partners like ASE, et cetera, et cetera. Why do we not want to capture that? Or what considerations do we think about the expansion?
Well, like I just answered this gentleman's question, it's again, packaging is important, but the focus, the purpose is to enable more wafer business, right? Although, to be fair to ourselves, if you look at it last year, the packaging plus testing business as a whole was like 10.2% of our revenue. So it's more than a $10 billion business. It's actually, we do more business in packaging than the number two foundry player does in wafer. So it's a large business, but in the scope of things for us, again, we make our bread and butter from the wafer side. So if the earlier question, we have partners and you can help me out where I can, resource, then my guy, our people can focus on other things and it's good for you, it's good for me. That's why we're partners and we can work together. Sure, why not?
How do you think with the trade-offs? There's been talk that you've been reducing mature node capacity in order to shift clean room space over to packaging.
Oh.
How do you think with the trade-off in terms of mature node capacity versus advanced packaging?
Sure. Well, I think one important thing, our strategy on mature node has not changed. Okay. We continue to focus on specialty technologies, and despite what's your word, the talk, we are not shutting down or exiting mature node. Actually, we continue to increase. Not decrease, not exit. We continue to increase mature node capacity. We will continue to increase.
Through equipment investment or through process throughput
Through
improvement.
everything. I mean, we're building in, one in Japan. We have one, and we have a mature node fab in Dresden that we're in the process of. So our mature node capacity is increasing, not decreasing. Now, again, I don't think it's 100% correct to say, oh, there's spillover or overflow from TSMC. Because when you look at the mature node demand, with the exception of a small area like power management IC, you look at smartphone, PC, mid to low end market, our mature node is not full. Okay. And so this argument that people are, well, I can only speak for TSMC.
So if it's not full, you are still expanding.
We're expanding, but the focus is on basically the higher value-added parts through special different specialty technologies, like CMOS image sensor, like some automotive specialty technologies, like embedded flat non-volatile memory, RF, these type of areas. Our strategy on the mature node, we always say we don't care about market share per se, because other people will build capacity, come in, the denominator grow, who cares? We want to focus on the profitable market share, so to speak. But again, just talk that we're shutting down, exiting. No, your point. We have a very specific plan to wind down what we call Fab 2 and Fab 5. Okay, Fab 2 is a 6-inch fab that's more than 30 years old. Fab 5 is an 8-inch fab that does gallium nitride, which is not very profitable. So we are winding it down. Why do you wind it down? Because you can't leave your customers hanging. Okay. But CC also said, even with those two fabs winding down, we have more than sufficient capacity to support our customers' business. Why more than sufficient? Because it's not full. So all these, yeah.
Can I just pick up on gallium nitride? So it's a technology that you're not go doubling down, or is something that you won't pursue? Because at one point become quite a bust, right? Like say 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's not something really I think that makes sense
For you.
for
Okay.
us. Yeah.
Right. So you're exiting. Right. Okay.
Now, you've always said that TSMC wants to price for the value that you bring to your customers. And on leading edge nodes, I think it's pretty clear that as their margins go up, your pricing goes up. But on mature nodes, some of your mature node competitors are starting to, at a minimum, talk of taking pricing up, if not actually taking pricing up. How does that make you think about the pricing opportunity on mature node for you?
Well, I think for us, we are pricing whether leading or mature node is not going to be opportunistic or short term. Okay. Again, if you just look at the mature node portfolio, with the exception of small areas, at least for us, it's not full. So, good luck. I don't know. I mean, in the pandemic, of course, on the mature node, there was a strong push for across the board price increases. And some of these guys' margins benefited quite well. But after the pandemic, 2023 is inventory correction, has to give it all back and more. And so where is it going today? I would just say for TSMC, pricing we wanted, our approach is strategic, not short term or opportunistic. And probably we want a sustainable and consistently reflecting our value pricing rather than, yeah.
Maybe just on the leading edge side, I know you guys really pride yourselves on working with customers, but looking at what's happening in the memory space with the sort of long LTAs, are you thinking anything, doing anything in that sort of build more, sell ahead type of opportunity?
We don't really, CC always says we don't make customers sign contracts or LTAs. That's not our way of doing business. Okay. Very simply, because we don't think it's effective. Because when things are tight, like it is today, certainly I can get you probably to sign anything I want, right? But it's kind of like the stock market. Unless you think it's going to be like this forever, well, in our view, in a 5-year view, always something unexpected happens. So this still can be cyclical. And so what's the point of a contract? You sign it, but when things are less tight, my customer, you have inventory, you're struggling. I say, hey, no, too bad, you need to pay. You kick them while they're down. How do they going to feel about the partnership and the relationship and doing business going forward? So we don't think that's an effective way to do business. Then you say you're so naive, but what is the way you can secure your customer's commitment? Again, we go back to the fundamental. As long as we provide the most advanced technologies in the most cost-efficient manner at scale and don't compete with you and serve you, that's how we earn the business. I heard, one of our big GPU customer on the podcast recently, someone asked him, he said, we've been doing business with TSMC 30 something years. We never signed a contract. It is that trust and relationship. So it's not just touchy feely stuff. This is really important part for what we do, and the customer relationship. They don't give you business because you're friends. But if you can provide the best technology, the best manufacturing, and you serve them, you earn their trust. So that's why that's the trinity. That's how you compete. And that's how you play the foundry game.
And do you think memory, like just while we're talking about memory, do you think that could be a limiting factor to growth? Given what's happening there, you
We
can't
look at
really.
many things, but when we do our internal planning and forecasting to determine CapEx and capacity, one of the things we consider is the power and electricity. Okay. Why? Because, again, given the lead time in our business, the things we're working on are already busy through the end of the decade. Okay. And the demand, from customers is like this, right? But why do you need to think about power electricity? It's not a problem today. It's not a problem tomorrow. Because when we talk to the CSPs, they've been working on it 5, 6 years ago. The question, the thing is, what about 3 to 5 years from now? Because if the chip demand's like this, but power electricity is only like this, then why bother? Or if we don't think about it, we're the one left holding the bag, so to speak. So that's why you try to stick to your discipline and build these things into your process. So it's important also, CC said, everything that we're doing is based on our assessment. 56 bill CapEx, significantly higher the next 3 years based on our assessment. Mid to high 50s AI CAGR is based on our assessment. And he also said this assessment process, which is true, is a continuous and ongoing one. It's not like we get together with customers, and do it once a year and then surprise. No, we're constantly doing this. But it is our responsibility to ensure the changes we make to the assessment or the forecast are more incremental in nature rather than suddenly dramatic either way. Because, investing 50 plus bill a year, we cannot afford to plan the business like that.
So power electricity is more of an issue than memory would be the sort of like on a 5-year view. Not issue, but concern.
Yes.
I think TSMC reached record gross margins recently. How do you have an assessment of where the ceiling will be for margins, especially when you're expanding overseas? There could be some dilution there, labor issues. How do you
Well, I think the overseas dilution is real because it's just more higher cost to have the fabs overseas, as we've explained before. But it's the same for everyone. We have the competitor in Korea that's going to Texas. They face the same challenges. We have the co competitor in the US. They live there, manufacture some chips there, but there's no magic, juice anyone can drink to enjoy lower costs. Okay. So it's a level playing field in that sense. So that's why CC said the most important thing for TSMC overseas is to be the most efficient manufacturer in each of the region we operate. And that statement we have confidence in because that's a function of your fundamental capability. In terms of the profitability, I mean, again, our long-term target is 56% and higher, recently raised. If CC were here, he might tell you, please pay attention to and higher. We have those six factors and we'll see. But it all starts and goes back to the technology leadership and differentiation. I think that's the key. If you look over these last few years, as our technology position in the industry has grown more apparent, actually a couple of things start to change for TSMC. Number one, we start to shoulder more and more responsibility slash burden of CapEx investment for the customers. Right? I always joke, but not joke. Look at our last 5 years CapEx is $167 billion cumulative alone by ourselves. Huge. We have to invest more to support the customer. So that's a burden or responsibility. But the flip side of the technology differentiation and position, we are also able to address and capture more and more of the industry's growth and value opportunities. These things are all going hand in hand. Growth, of course, is the revenue. You look at it, we grew 30% in 2024, 36% last year, above 30 this year. Our revenue's already such a high base, almost doubled. Then value is what you're referring to, the profitability, the margin, and you can see. So all of these things are interlinked or interconnected, but none of it is possible without the technology differentiation. So that's why I say internally the focus is just technology leadership, manufacturing excellence, customer trust. These are the fundamentals of our business.
What are the constraints right now on growing business? We've talked about labor. We've talked about labor. We've talked about clean room. whenever I talk to companies throughout the supply chain, everybody's pointing the finger at someone else, saying they're the constraint. What are the constraints for TSM?
Well, it's physical constraints to build capacity. Like I said, capacity is not born overnight. It takes time, right? Our tool suppliers have lead time, right? You need land, you need talent, you need water, electricity, right? Arizona land is plentiful and abundant, not an issue, but in the US, the permitting process is more lengthy. Construction workers. In the US, in Arizona, it's actually not enough construction workers in the state of Arizona. So you have to hire from out of state and relocate them. So everything takes time. It's just, it's not about money. We have 100 bill on the balance sheet, but no one can pop out like, 20 fabs in 2 years. Like this is not a pop-up store.
Speaking in terms of the technology leadership, if you look at our China peers, so they're trying to optimize everything else beyond transistor density because their hands are obviously tied. We probably don't feel the threat now, but are there other directions that we are exploring beyond transistor density and advanced packaging to improve performance?
Well, it's not even just the density, obviously. So again, power efficiency has been a big focus. Speed, performance, these are all the metrics. This is what the customers want and value, and what can help them be successful in their market. There's a lot of different, well, if your point, technology offering, advanced packaging is important. Silicon photonics is important. There's different things that we're always looking at and working on. I think, again, as Morris Chang said, anyone who does foundry or says they want to do, we will not overlook or take lightly. This includes our competitors in China, includes our neighbor in Taiwan, UMC, includes, the US now, everyone. But at the same time, there's no shortcuts to this thing, right? How many people have tried with free money or deep pockets, government support, or GlobalFoundry with oil support? Money is not an issue, but there's no shortcuts to the technology, and we continue to try to move forward, not stand still.
What are the PSM's researchers saying about Huawei's recent disclosure about intercepting you in 2031?
What are what? Sorry.
What are your researchers saying? Like, it's in our seats, we get incomplete analysis in terms of what Huawei is suggesting they're doing, but you guys are a little bit closer to the situation. What are your researchers suggesting?
Well, it is a stacking approach or solution. We'll have to see. I mean, it's easy to show anything as a sample in the R&D, but what in the real world in high volume production is the key. Now, fair to say the economics may not matter so much in this particular case, but you can't escape the physics, the performance of the chip, to your earlier question, the reliability of the chip, heat dissipation, failure rate, all of these things matter no matter who, what, where you want your chip produced. That's what people care about.
So is it stacking of 5 nanometer dies, or what is it stacking?
I don't know. You need to ask them.
I've been struggling just to figure out how stacking can get you. I mean, they're struggling at 7 nanometer, let alone 5 nanometer. But to take it to what appears
Yeah,
to be
but
one full.
this, so to be fair, I think again, it's also maybe, anyway, it's some of the ripple effects from the regulations, right? But having said that, like I said, in our industry, there is no shortcuts. If you take SMIC, for example, they're our competitor too. And my earlier point, they're one of the ones who government has tried to help them anywhere, which way they can. But even before the geopolitical US-China relation, there was already a substantial gap between ourselves and them. And you look at all these actions in the last few years, has it made it easier or harder? Whereas at the same time, we've not stood still and continue to try to move forward.
Now, there's been speculation of High NA being 2029 for the roadmap for TSM. Is there anything you could publicly say?
No, we have said we're not adopting it for 2 nanometer. We're not adopting it for A14. Beyond
Yeah.
that, we'll see. We have not disclosed anything. It's fair to say, of course, we have a great relationship with ASML. We know the tool very well. If I dare, I say better than anyone in this industry. Okay, but the decision making for T, we're not an IDM. So we serve the customers. So when we look at any new technology and the decision of what to adopt and when, it's always predicated certainly on what provides our customers the best technology, because obviously that's what they want and value. But again, not an IDM. We also need to consider what provides them the best cost. And last but not least, we certainly need to consider the what provides them the best maturity, which again is the readiness of any new technology to go from R&D or sampling into what our customers demand, high volume manufacturing in a short period of time. So for High NA, we continue to evaluate, and when it meets, we can use. This same example applies a few years back. If you look at 3 nanometer, there was many questions on gate-all-around transistor structure because our competitor in Korea said we're the first. We're very aggressive and benefit tremendously. Did we not know about 3 nanometer in only a day or vice versa? No, technology is so complex today. So we looked at it, but we said, hey, we're going to stick with FinFET at 3. We're not going to use it gate-all-around until 2 nanometer, nanosheet transistor structure. Why? Technology, cost, and maturity. The same example with backside power. We had a competitor who said they're the first backside power. That's how they catch up and surpass. Did we not know about it? We knew. But we did not use it for N2. We said we'll only use it 1 year later at A16. So again, it's those three things for us because we serve the customers that drive decision of what to adopt and when.
Just a couple of questions on like your AI TAM. So given those forecasts of like 50% growth or more, and like how do you think of edge AI, physical AI versus data center? When, like if we're looking at
Yeah,
the answer.
actually, to be fair or to remind everyone, the AI CAGR we guided for is mid to high 50s growth from 24 to 29. But that is a more narrow definition in the sense that that CAGR AI part is GPUs, what we call ASICs, and memory controllers used for training and inference in the data center. So it's a narrow definition in the sense that, for example, AI data centers, you also need networking chips, which we make many, if not most, but we cannot tell which of those are AI or not. Just like certainly, also, of course, everyone is aware, with agentic AI, CPU has come back into prominence. And that should be good for us because, with the exception of one company, everyone else is our customer, right? So we make those, but we don't include it in that definition because it's hard to tell which is for what.
Yeah.
Sorry, in your question, I don't think I answered
My
your question.
question was more just about like how you think about physical edge AI, just
Oh.
from what you're hearing from your customers, like how big could that be relative to data
It's
center?
hard for us to quantify at this point, but those things, again, we think so when we those things, yeah, we do see certain customers' activities, and we'll see how it unfolds over time. Again, so this is why for us, we have said and continues to be the case, the AI megatrend, that's what we are investing for, betting on, so to speak.
Just on cash balance, because it's been growing very healthy. What do we intend to do with this excess cash, even despite the high CapEx growth? Are we looking at more shareholder returns?
Well, certainly, if Wendell were here, and it's rightly true, we always want to have a fortress balance sheet, okay? Because it's such capital intensive industry, you need to rely on yourself, basically, put it that way. Having said that, certainly dividend, a sustainable and steadily increasing cash dividend per share, and 70% of sustainable free cash flow is what we want to do, of course, subject to the board. And actually, that is what you are seeing us be able to do these days, even as we're investing so heavily for the future growth. So this goes back to the technology position. Like I said, if you look at our CapEx 30 bill, that 24, 41 last year, 56 this year, we're putting our money where our mouth is to invest heavily for the future growth, which, knock on wood, we have a good track record of. But because of our technology position, we're able to deliver decent growth these last 3 years at the same time. So that makes it different in the sense that Wendell said, as long as we continue to do our job right, indeed, our capital intensity does not need to jump up so dramatically as it has in the past periods. And that, as a biased IR, if I tell you in such a capital intensive industry, I think it's remarkable, but it's the best of both worlds for shareholder, because as we continue to invest to drive the future growth, decent growth in the meantime, free cash flow, dividend, we increased from 6 to 7 NT per share recently. We can do that. So that's my little sales pitch, but it is pretty unbelievable.
Can I ask you, in terms of, you probably get this a million times, but in terms of this AI mega trend, and then tie this back to just capacity and investments, CapEx, just industry-wide, if you look at the numbers, it's actually quite scary for an old person like me. I'm just trying to just think about when you think about putting money on the ground, is commitment that you make for 20 years, like when talking about all the physical investments, what is your thinking in terms of the cycle? How are you positioning? Are you thinking that this 30% compounded, or in some cases in memory, 100% compounded volume wise? What is the base case here? Are we talking
Well,
about 5, 10 years, 3 months? I mean, it can't be 3 months if everyone is putting in millions. I know it's a very big question, but surely when you guys do your
I
calculation.
think a couple of things. So you're right, because it's our money, so to speak. So if we build too much, as you say, it will be a disaster. That's why we have to, and we do stick to the process, the capacity planning framework, and the disciplines there. Simply put, like I said, everything we're doing is based on our assessment. Our view is simply, AI mega trend, is AI for real? It is. We have strong conviction this is the mega trend, the upcoming one. But in a 5-year period, we also have a view that our side of this business is still can be cyclical, because our experience over the last 3 decades has always told us that in a 5-year period, something unexpected, unanticipated is going to happen. And so you just have to manage your business and plan it accordingly. As a long-term investor, the most important thing for TSMC to get right, given the money at stake, is to be right about the trend. Okay. Now, we have a luxury, so to speak. For us, we focus on this forecasting assessment, the total mega trend opportunity, rather than any single customer or company. Okay. It's a bold statement to make, but the assumption is very simple. Number one, we continue to provide the most leading technology so that everyone who wants to do it is my customer and vice versa. And number two, the brilliance of Dr. Morris Chang and the foundry model. Unless I suddenly turn to, mush and introduce TSMC AI chips to compete, otherwise you look at our history, that's how we can address and capture the mega trend. Are we perfect in forecasting and crystal ball? No. I'll give you a recent example. Today we said 2024 to 29, our CAGR will be 20, close to 25% in US dollar terms. The last time we gave a long-term guidance like that was in January of 2022, where we said from 2021 to 26, we will grow between 15 to 20%. But like I may have mentioned earlier, then here come 2023, where we knew it was the inventory correction year, but the macro environment was far worse. So the magnitude and depth of that correction, we did not get right. We actually had to revise down our 23 revenue guidance twice. So we did not see that coming necessarily. What did we do on the CapEx side? We certainly tightened the belt where it made sense, but we did not stop investing because we believe the trend is still right. And as a result, you look at coming out of that 24, 25, takes this year's guidance at 15 to 20%, we're going to be like 22.7% or something. So that's the way it kind of works, and we try to do things.
Do you think of, I mean, just one last question.
Sure.
If things really, I wonder if when you do your capacity planning, if let's say things really take a turn, what will be the worst case capacity utilization? Do you plan in that
Oh,
sense?
we do different scenarios, so certainly we do. I don't have one to share with you, but obviously that's why this assessment process is a continuous and ongoing one. So you adjust as needed. But like I said, we cannot afford to make dramatic
Right,
changes.
sure.
It's incremental.
So tightness is plan, right? Because you've got to plan your capacity like this, and then you are going to have to deal with the capacity tightness when the
Well, no,
cycles
the
go that
market is
way.
also dynamic too. It's also,
Yeah.
is our conviction in AI today stronger than it was before? Last year, our AI CAGR was close to mid-40s. Now we say mid to high-50s. So
Yeah.
things can change, but it has to be more incremental than suddenly dramatic either way.
Can I just squeeze in one more
Sorry.
question in terms of
Last one,
your
because
definition of AI, which you just defined? What is the split now in terms of, if I think about your overall percentage of revenue, what would be your percentage of revenue directly
We
AI
did not
related?
disclose
Even
for
now
the,
that.
yeah, not for
Okay.
this year, no.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Have a good conference.
Yeah,
Thank you.
thank you.
Thank you very much.